Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Some might say that Lewis got what he deserved in the unfolding of that story in the video. I mean, that ride on the conveyor belt there at the cashier and then some seriously painful injuries as a result of just a seriously rude and obnoxious and really kind of a painful response to other people. And yet others might say that as they watch that story, no, Lewis really got what he did not deserve. He got a Christmas gift. He got a Christmas gift that was really laced with grace from one of the people who was trying to serve him at the store that he so rudely offended. Regardless, Lewis entered that store on that day with pride, and he exited with some serious humility that he may not have really realized that he needed when he walked into the store to begin with. And yet in his humbled state, sitting there in his recliner at his mom's house, Lewis really became a candidate to receive one of the gifts of Christmas that we're talking about. And the gift we're talking about today of Christmas is grace. Would you just say that word with me on three? One, two, three. Grace. Grace. Grace is when we get something good, like a gift that we don't deserve. Grace surprises us. Have you ever gotten a gift that just, man, I mean, you got it and you were like, wow, I was not expecting that. Or if you've ever gotten that kind of a gift and you're just like, oh my goodness, I couldn't believe that. I can't believe I got that. It just kind of caught you off guard. Kids, draw me a picture of a gift or a present that you've received that you weren't expecting and it just caught you off guard. And when you opened it, you were like, oh my goodness, draw me a picture. What'd you look like? What was that gift? And when you draw that picture at the end of the service, put it on my board. I want to see what caught you off guard, what gift you opened and you were just like so surprised. Man, that's what grace does to us. That's what grace does to our inside when we're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I got that. I shouldn't have gotten that. I should have gotten something else. Anybody ever been speeding a little bit? I was doing that last night. Coming back from Waco, going, just count down the hours right now. I'll be, if I got in bed right now, my alarm would go off in 4 hours. If it goes off now, it'll be 3 hours. If it goes off, and thankfully there were no Christmas lights behind me. Have you ever had that moment though when you know you're speeding, or maybe you don't know you're speeding, you're just driving and then all of a sudden you have a friend that's cheering you on with lights behind you and you pull over to get an award and they come and it's like, oh no, and that officer asks you for two things. License and registration, please. And you kind of glanced down when you were speeding. You're like, yeah, I was speeding. And like, is there a hurry? Is there a problem? Like, no, sir, no, ma'am. All right. And then he goes back, or she goes back, and they come back a little bit, and they give you a present. Yeah. And you were expecting one thing, but you got a warning. You know what you just got? You didn't get a warning. You got what? You got grace. Has anybody ever gotten grace like that before? And you're just like, thank you. I will, until Jesus comes back, I will 10 and 2. Till you get around the corner. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, grace. It's an incredibly good gift. And man, before Lewis had his conveyor belt accident, he was a Merry Christmas maniac. I mean, he was on a mission, but it was a maniacal mission. And he just came across as graceless. Webster defines graceless like this: lacking any sense of what is proper, or what's that last word? Clumsy. Clumsy. That pretty much defines Lewis and his approach to the happy holidays. No, it's Merry Christmas!
war that he was waging in this video. And man, Lewis, he came across to people as a Merry Christmas maniac, to those who encountered him with an innocent Happy Holidays. I was coming out of Walmart on Friday, and the little bell ringer was there. Have you seen the bell ringers? Yeah. And you know what the bell ringer said to me? Happy Holidays. And you know what I said to her? Happy Holidays. But you're a pastor. I know, but she was just trying to be nice. And you know what I said after that? God bless you. So that kind of made it all right, right? Man, although Jesus certainly is the reason for the season, somewhere along the way, Lewis in that video, unfortunately, just became encased. He became bound up with this religious quest to be right, to always be right, instead of a worthwhile pursuit of trying to be right with other people. There's a big difference of always wanting to be right and wanting to be right with other people. And that's the part of grace that we're talking about today. Grace. Being right with others. Lewis and those who find themselves in the happy holiday, no, it's Merry Christmas, verbal war, those who come back with the Merry Christmas, they may be trying to love God by somehow defending Christmas. However, oftentimes Lewis and those other Merry Christmas soldiers, they may seem to miss the part that God's also going, hey, love others. While you're trying to love me, if you love others, that'll go a long way to loving me. And in Lewis's case, there was a real lack of mutual respect and love. Man, when people begin to just feel, man, the things that came out of that person's mouth is just condemning me and judging me, just trying to be nice. What was it that Jesus said? He said people will know that they're his disciples by the way that they defend him or the way that they love. Not how we prove that we're right, the way that we love. Again, grace is less about being right, and it's more about being right with one another. You know, religion and the law, those are categories that are always trying to be right. Right. But who's really asking for religion for Christmas anyway? Not me. I'll take a zero on that. See, religion has been defined as rules and regulations without the relationship. And that just seems like something far away from the love and far away from what Jesus came to offer us that first Christmas, right? Yeah. You know, as we consider the arrival of this Christmas season, may we remember that in the second week of Advent, Advent means arrival, when we light the Advent candle, the candle that we light today reminds us of love. Last week, we lit the first candle that reminds us of the hope that we have in Christ. The second candle reminds us of love. And we can't talk about grace without talking about love. And we can't talk about love without talking about grace. You know, if we love God, but we miss loving our neighbor, we've missed the way God wants us to experience a Merry Christmas or a Happy Holiday in the first place. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, if you would. John chapter 1, it's on page 886 if you're using the Bible in the row in front of you. If you don't have a Bible, come see me in the pastor's coffee. I host a little informal coffee at the end of our worship service each week, and I'll give you a Bible if you don't have one. I gave one to somebody last week, gave one to somebody the week before that. I'll give you a Bible, and if you're using the Bible in the row in front of you, 886 is where John chapter 1 is. And let's just invest some time this morning looking at what the Bible shows us about God's gift of grace. See, the gift of grace, it allows us to love our neighbors, whether they greet us with Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah or Happy Holidays or just a nod or whatever you kind of have with your neighbor relationally there. See, grace makes room for people, and grace allows space for people to come near and experiencing love that comes from Christ, that comes from our hearts, whether they think like we do or experience the holidays like we do or not, or think like we do. Maybe they've got a totally different perspective than we do, but the gift of grace allows us to bless people regardless. And from the day that Jesus was born, Jesus, we see, always had room for all kinds of people with all different perspectives that came from all different walks of life, whether it was a lowly shepherd with the sheep in tow, or it was an upper-class wise person who was coming to give gifts of frankincense, myrrh, and gold. I mean, it took a serious injury in the video with some deep wounds for Lewis to understand the deep healing that was needing to take place in his own life. And it wasn't until after he was incapacitated to really do a whole lot of things from his zealous actions, that man, he began to remember the true meaning of Christmas and that gift of grace that came gift wrapped in a manger in human form. And so we read from the Gospel of John, it says it like this in John chapter 1, verses 14 and 16. Look what it says in Scripture. And the Word became what? Flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Look at verse 16. And from his fullness we have all received. You receive what? Gift. And what was that gift? Grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. Would you say that phrase with me? Grace upon grace. Say that again. Grace upon grace. One more time. Grace upon grace. See, this passage, it speaks about how Jesus was full of grace right in the midst of a people with whom he came to dwell. Lewis was full of something else. Lewis, in the video, he was full of pride. He was full of anger. He was full of judgment. He was full of exasperation. He was full of himself. And nobody really enjoys being around people who are full of all that stuff, right? Man, I don't. However, when you're in the presence of someone who is full of grace, the temperature in the room kind of changes a little bit, doesn't it? You look for the person full of grace. Be the person full of grace at the Christmas party that you go to. Some people will just be nagging and yang and negative and this, and there'll be other people who are just winsome and filled with grace, and those are the people that people kind of gravitate toward, right? Be that kind of a person. Be that kind of a person full of grace. Full of grace. You know, person, they don't earn grace. That just goes against the very nature of the definition of grace. Grace is a gift that can only be received. The Apostle Paul is writing to a group of people, his friends that lived in a town called Ephesus. He's writing a letter, and look what he says in this letter in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. You might want to jot it down and look it up again this week. In Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the what? It's the gift of God. It's not a result of works so that no one may boast. In other words, the only way, Paul says, that we get saved is by receiving a gift that comes straight from the hand of God. And that gift is called what? Say it with me. Grace. See, I think if I would have sat down and talked with Lewis and listened to Lewis's story, somewhere along the way, Lewis probably received the gift of God's grace. Somewhere along the way, he probably put his faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, and he was forgiven of his sin. And somehow yet, when we hear Lewis's story in this video, the grace that he probably received in the past got mixed up with religion and the need to always be right. And as Lewis said, I don't know if you remember him saying this, but he said these words, "All this time I've been bound up by religion. I don't want to be bound up anymore." He couldn't move. Physically or spiritually. See, men and women, religious determination and the need to be right all the time becomes wearisome to be around. And it causes a person to get bitter and angry and full of pride. And that is part of what Paul, the Apostle Paul, was writing about to his friends at the church in Ephesus. A person cannot earn the saving grace of God by being good enough or by working hard enough or making a compelling enough argument. See, if someone could earn his or her salvation as such an effort-laden way, then that person would be tempted just to be arrogant and prideful in their accomplishments. And God, if you just read Scripture, is not into proud, arrogant, prideful, boastful people. See, what God wants to do, we see it all through Scripture over and over again. What God wants to do is he wants to get inside of proud hearts, and he wants to break those proud hearts. And he wants to fill them back up with his love that is laced with what? Grace. Through moments sometimes that are humiliating. Sometimes they're brought about by those prideful scenes in our life getting ushered into the light. So if you keep reading in Scripture through the New Testament, you'll see James writing a letter. And James writes these words about God's gift of grace, which are worth remembering not only this Christmas, but all throughout the year. Look what James writes in his letter. In James chapter 4, verse 6, he writes these words. But he what? Gives. It's a gift of Christmas. He gives more what? Grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to whom? Humble. The humble. See, in this verse, James is quoting a principle from the Old Testament. It's an Old Testament proverb that had been around for centuries and centuries, but it is relevant for the situation that we were watching in the video with Lewis and his actions. Look on the screen at the words of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. You might want to jot this down. You might want to memorize this one this week. This is great. And it describes Lewis. It describes the Merry Christmas maniac. Look what Proverbs 3:34 says. Toward the scorners, that's what the Merry Christmas maniac was doing. He was scorning people who said, Happy Holidays. No, it's Merry Christmas. Scorn. Toward the scorners, God is scornful, right on the conveyor belt. And then when he got incapacitated, Mom, can you help? How humbling that is. To the humble, he gives what? He gives grace. That's Lewis. That's Lewis. See, too often, Lewis is what people think about when they hear the word Christian. Right? Christian. Oh yeah, they're the ones who are anti everything, right? Anti this, anti that. They're anti dancing, smoking, drinking. They're anti this. They're anti. It's everything they're against. Too many people in our society, when they hear Christian, they're just going, they're the ones that keep ramming Merry Christmas down my throat when I'm just saying Happy Holiday. And anti. What if we could get to the point where we change culture? What if we could get to the point when people in our society, people in our community, when they heard Christian, they thought, oh yeah, Christian, those are the ones who were handing out blankets when it got so cold to the homeless. Oh yeah, Christian, those are the ones who took the team of workers down to the Philippines when it got blown away by that typhoon. Oh, Christian, those are the ones who are around the corner from Hickman that gave like 29 coats to kids that were cold and shoes and blessed people and gave like 71 Operation Christmas boxes. Oh yeah, Christian, yeah. Christian, most people are good people. I mean, what if we became known as Christians for the things that we're for rather than the things we're against? See, in his prideful religious arrogance in the video, Lewis was just scorning people who were trying to be kind. They were trying to be pleasant during a festive season of Christmas. And God allowed a scornful, humiliating, and painful consequence to come to the scorner named Lewis because of his deriding words and his actions that were obnoxious and they were unnecessary to people who were just trying to be kind. And he got humble, didn't he? Full body cast will do that to you. I mean, that was his daily wardrobe. He didn't have to think about what to wear. It's what he's wearing. But man, it causes you to kind of slow down and realize you need other people too, doesn't it? He was just trying to open the present. It's great. It was only after Lewis found himself in this humbled state that he was able to receive a gift of Christmas called grace from that little clerk. The Apostle Peter, he too talks about this gift of grace that's given to people who are humble. And in doing so, Peter also references this Old Testament proverb of Proverbs 3:34, just like James did in James 4:6. Notice Peter's words in his letter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. He's writing to the church, people young and old, and how they should conduct themselves as followers of Jesus. Look what Peter says and writes. He says, clothe yourselves, all of you, with what? Humility toward one another. Why? Here comes Proverbs 3:34 again. For God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Man, they memorized that. They knew that. They lived that verse. And man, it's really interesting. That's really, really cool. Can you go back one slide? Because I want you to see where it says clothe yourselves. That's a great word. That's a great, great word in the Greek. When Peter's talking about clothing yourselves in humility, there's just a richness in the original language. The way that language reads is put on as a way to designate yourself. This one's Allison's. I don't have one. Every time I walk, he's like, get out. Get out. You clean it up. I make it. You clean it up, but I'll make it. And if you go back and look at that phrase in the Greek language about clothe yourselves, it really goes back to talking about how slaves would designate themselves. And they would tie a piece of cloth around them or a white apron around them so that others would know that person is indebted to somebody else. That person serves others. Anybody have Thanksgiving and see one of these babies whipped out? You know what you were doing? You were designating yourself as one who was serving. You were filled with grace. You were clothing yourselves with humility. And that's what Peter is inviting the followers of Jesus to do, to identify themselves by being people not who are all knotted up by religion and law and having to be right, but just saying, how can I bless you? How can I serve you? How can I extend grace to you during this season? Too many people have a view of Christians as being prideful and self-righteous individuals, living life on the opposite end of humility and grace. And the stereotypes of so many who view religious rule-following Christians are those who are not marked with a simple apron or cloth like that historical slave, but rather are clothed. They just see us as full body cast people, bound up. No, not really enjoying life, not really filled with the joy, unspeakable joy that we were singing about earlier. How many of you sang that and are experiencing it? And how many of you sang that and are wishing for it? Maybe because you're bound up, your heart's cast with something. Man, nobody in their right mind, think about this, nobody in their right mind would want to clothe himself or herself in a restricting full body cast. It's too binding. It's too restrictive. There's little room for graceful flows of life. Nobody wants to be bound up. Nobody's asking, what do you want for Christmas this year? I want a full body cast. That'd be awesome. Do they come in like skinny jean cast that makes me look thinner? Nobody's asking for that. Why? Because nobody wants that. Bad gift. Let me just ask you a question. What's your body cast that you're having to fight against this Christmas? Is it the Christmas card thing? And the Christmas card thing just kind of like, I've got to get these Christmas cards out. This list is getting too long. She didn't send me one this. She's off the list. And all of a sudden, the Christmas cards are just like, look, and it's killing your joy. It's restricting your joy. Maybe it's not the Christmas cards. Maybe it's the Christmas gift. And you're like, all right, Black Friday, I've been working the sales. I've been getting all the stuff. I know what's going to happen. I'm going. I'm getting there. And man, you're just like, whoa, stand in line for that long to get that to save 26 bucks? And it's just become a cast around your heart. What's your cast this year that you need grace to break you free so you can actually love and hope in the Christ of Christmas this year? I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's family. Going, don't go there. Oh, I'm going to go there. And you're just thinking dozens of family members are coming your way. Right in the back of Santa's sleigh. And they're going to come to your house that you have to clean before they get here and you have to clean when they leave. And they're going to eat your food. And then they're going to offer advice on your child-rearing skills. And then his sister, who just needed to bring desserts. You're responsible for desserts, and you got 17 people. And how many pies did they pick up from H-E-B? One. Yo, H-E-B, that's where we go to when we're down in Central Texas. We go to H-E-B. One pie for 17 people, and all of a sudden your heart's just whoosh. Got a cast around your heart. See, if we're not careful, Christmas can feel like a body cast, can it? Lewis was bound up. He was tied up. He was knotted up. He was clothed with religion and rules and the need to be right for much of his life. And he's offered grace by a little store clerk. And a humbled healing took place. Men and women, life is more than just being right. Life as God intended it, it is about being right with our Creator and with others. That's what we talk about when we say being in community. We're in community with Him and in community with others who are trying to follow Him. Don't you want to be right this way, this year? You know how you're going to get there? Grace. Grace is what enables right relationships to occur between ourselves, God, and others. Let me just ask you a couple of questions and we'll wrap up. Who do you need to offer grace to this Christmas? Who do you need to offer grace to this Christmas? I don't know what that looks like for you. That may be awkward. Who do you need to offer grace to this Christmas? Who do you need to offer grace upon grace to? Isn't that what Jesus was full of, grace, and in John chapter 1, verse 16, and from His fullness we have all received what kind of grace? Grace upon grace. Needs to be a lot of grace offered and received this Christmas. That kind of grace not only would make for a Merry Christmas, it would probably make for some happier holidays. Anybody start getting a little tense when they started thinking about family coming in? 18 shopping days left. Not that many until your family show up. Just bring lots of grace this year if you forget the pie. Just bring lots and lots of grace. Let me ask you another question. Who do you need to receive grace from this Christmas? See, when it comes to God, do you kind of feel enslaved, like you're living life all bound up? Like a full body cap? Maybe this Christmas you just need to go, God, there's a lot of people on my list, but I need fresh grace from You. Because the people that you think you need grace for, they might not come forth. But God's sitting there going, I'll give you grace upon grace that will free you from whatever's binding you up. Anybody get the little gift receipts? You know, you give a gift, you get the little receipt in there just in case. God's going, change that, whatever it is that you think you're getting it so good, and just receive grace upon grace. And as you have an opportunity at Christmas parties, if you get into a situation where it's fixing to be, no, I'm right, no, you're right, no, this, no, that, would you just in that moment whisper a prayer, Lord Jesus, help me give them grace, and just begin to offer grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. Grace that is greater than how many of our sins? All. All our sins. At the very end of that message on that video, just remember what Lewis said. He said these words, religion is wanting to be right, but grace is wanting to be right with others and with God. I just want to jot that down. You might want to take your phone out. I'm going to take my phone out right quick because I need to be reminded of that this week. Camera. My kids have been messing with my phone again. Dang kids. Get that in. Anybody else want to join me? No. On three. One, two, three. That's my screensaver this week. That's my screensaver. I'm going to take another one just in case. I'm a little technologically challenged sometimes. Let's get another one there. Boom. And just to remind me who needs it the most. God loves you. You know that? He really, really does. And he wants you to experience his grace.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.